Winds are not always still. There can be turbulence without and within. We know that storms, be they welcome or challenging, will pass, and rainbows will come again as signs of hope. Celebrate life and storms in the presence we name God. When we ponder storms, so many images spring to mind. It's easy to understand divine presence in the summer storm bringing rains that break the drought, refreshing all that grows and relieving tension and humidity. We give thanks for life-giving waters. We search for the God of justice and compassion when storms of human-generated crisis involving family, community, nation, or all of us swirl around and catch us in their chaos. Compassionate Spirit, give us courage to row against wild tides, clear sight to choose the right way forward. How do we find God when weather systems clash and nature's destructive, overwhelming forces against which humans are powerless cause death and damage on land and sea? Compassionate Spirit, be with us to guide, strengthen and comfort in the storms of life. How do we find God in our inner storms, when visibility is nil, our charts and compass lost, the sandbanks moved, the beacon's gone, and sense of direction disappears? Compassionate Spirit, be with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort in the storms of life. Good morning. E te whana karaiti na mihi aroha kia tato katoa. And that means family of Christ, a loving greeting to all of you. I'm Trish McBride. I am part of the St Andrew's whānau. Three of us planned this morning's service. Meg, who's here, and Valerie Rhodes, who's unfortunately not well enough to be with us today. She's with us in spirit, and Margaret Rushbrook is going to read Valerie's part of the reflection. Anybody back from travels? Just us, usual ones, give or take. Now we're going to move straight to the Rainbow Room candle. Have I got a Rainbow Room candle lighter? Now I invite you to take a minute and recall a memorable storm that you've experienced. Were your own personal courage and resourcefulness needed to help you get through? Were there specific people who helped you? Were there people that you were able to support? Were you aware then or later of divine compassion with you through the storm? Were there any learnings from the storm experience? As you ponder all this now, is there some sense of gratitude for resilience, for the storm eventually passing, for the repair of any damage, and for some sort of rainbow eventually appearing? Now we listen to the word.
The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 8. Jesus got into a boat, and his disciples went with him. Suddenly, a fierce storm hit the lake, and the boat was in danger of sinking. But Jesus was asleep. The disciples went to him and woke him up. "Save us, Lord," they said. "We're about to die." "Why are you so frightened?" Jesus answered. "What little faith you have." Then he got up and ordered the winds and the waves to stop, and there was a great calm. Everyone was amazed. "What kind of man is this?" they said. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." The contemporary reading is taken from the Dominion Post. In those days it was the Evening Post. The editorial from the 11th of April, 1968. Wellington woke to a sad morning. The stunning ferocity of yesterday's gale had blown itself out, but the aftermath was only too real. Had the wind whipped city and suburbs and left its trail of destruction, it would have been bad enough. There was a lot of heartbreak involved in that. The foundering of the Wahine, with heavy loss of life within the harbour entrance, made of the storm a tragedy that strikes at the heart of the nation. Nature, in its wild moods, is uncontrollable. It can unleash forces against which the stoutest barricades are in vain. It is possible to dwell not only on the tragedy, but on the selfless and competent manner in which organized bodies and ordinary people sprang to give aid when the seriousness of the disaster became apparent. No one will ever know the unsung deeds of heroism that went on in the suburbs, the desperate struggles amid lashing wind and rain to help neighbours pin down lifting roof or flailing tree branch, the spontaneous assistance given to the hurt, distraught, or homeless. Council employees worked so hard and successfully to clear away the worst of the tangled fallen wires, poles, and scattered debris. Despite meteorological prediction of the storm, the city could hardly be blamed for not expecting a blast which was completely beyond its experience. Sad and battered though she may be, Wellington has emerged from her wildest day with immense credit. She can stand up with equal courage and equanimity to whatever the coming years may hold in store for her. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
A reflection on the gospel reading, and I'm reading and sharing for Valerie Rhodes, who prepared it. This morning's gospel reading has all the hallmarks of a thrilling film. It could almost be a mini Titanic, except that things end well in Matthew's account of high drama on the Sea of Galilee. An inland lake, a little smaller than Lake Wanaka. It's a story that has components of fear and trust and of being at the mercy of the elements. We've all experienced times when we feel almost overwhelmingly daunted by a challenge. Times when we are afraid to expose our weaknesses. Such were my feelings when Trish invited me to take part in today's service. It would be a new venture for me and way, way out of my comfort zone. I was afraid. My brain became paralyzed and I panicked. After a few worrying days, I told Trish that although I was honoured to have received the invitation, there was no way I could do it. It was when she told me that there was no compulsion to take part that an enormous burden seemed to fall from my shoulders and I began to face my fears. Maybe I could do it after all. The storm in today's story took place after Jesus had had an exhausting day and just wanted to get away from it all and have some time out with a few close friends. Some of his companions were experienced fishermen who knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hands. They were well aware that it was subject to sudden changes of weather and could be downright dangerous at times. There is no way that they'd have ventured out if there had been any hint of impending bad weather. So it was fair weather when they set sail in the early evening. I like to imagine them way out from shore with their small, sturdy boat bobbing about on a tranquil sea. Perhaps even pausing for a while to enjoy a bite of food as they talked of the day's experiences. The mild breeze and the gentle lapping of the waves had such a calming effect that Jesus fell asleep. And then suddenly, without any warning, an enormous tempest engulfed them. As the storm vented its fury, these experienced boatmen panicked, and in their fear, they forgot their accustomed ways of coping with shocking weather conditions. You might have expected them to lower the sail and to start bailing and then try to ride out the storm as they must have done many times in the past. But fear of drowning caused them to forget their normal ways of coping with such situations. So they awakened Jesus and called upon him to save them. Jesus told them to have faith in him. And then, according to Matthew, he rebuked the winds and the waves and all became completely calm. Wellingtonians can easily relate to this story of sudden storms that are so often followed by amazing calm conditions when the harbour looks as though it's made of glass and the sky has that wonderful washed blue look. We often speak of Wellington having four seasons all in one day, but despite living here for years, we get lulled into a false sense of security and go out ill-prepared for what might lie ahead. Sometimes the storm is over almost before it had begun, but at other times the seas pound our coasts relentlessly for hours or for days on end. Our rivers rise to dangerous levels. The gales bring down trees, and we're advised that we should remain safely at home. If we happen to be in a vulnerable position in the midst of one of these storms, or if we have loved ones who might be in danger, we're afraid. The disciples' lack of faith reminds us that even those who knew Jesus well still found it difficult to put trust in him at all times. I wonder if we, like those close friends, only call out for divine help in moments of crisis, or do we try to walk with Jesus as our companion in good times as well as when we are at the mercy of a storm?
The word storm conjures up many images and is embedded in our consciousness. From an early age, many of us have been familiar with the story of Jesus stilling the storm. Every culture and language has its weather words. The Inuit people have many, many words for snow. In Robert McFarlane's book, Landmarks, he lists old storm words from the UK and Ireland, and many of these are in Gaelic. I found befty, B-E-F-T-Y, from Ireland, which means rough weather, thraw, T-H-R-A-W, from Scotland, meaning threatening sky and wind, and my favourite from Scotland is the rory bumblers, meaning fast-moving storm clouds. For Maori, Tawhiri Matia is the storm god. Hoka Kariri means sleet. A'u Pakaria, clouds of thunderstorms. And Waipuki means flood. And I have found phrases that crept into English. Stormy petrel, any port in a storm, to take by storm. We even have a song, Stormy Weather. Did you know that there is a shop in Lambton Quay called Storm? Found it the other day. Here, storms are associated with thunder, lightning, wind, hail, rain, snow, and floods. In other places, there are sandstorms, dust storms, firestorms, hurricanes, tornadoes, and the yearly monsoons. Some storms are destructive, and others are life-giving. And as we know, many of these can be metaphors for our lives. Storms are a pattern throughout the evolving universe. On TV and in photographs, we have seen stormy images of the swirling energy of the galaxies. We have no sense of the noise. Who is out there to listen? It is profound to realize that these images have taken light years to reach us. We do not know what is happening out there now, except we know that the creating universe continues. In our solar system, the sun and the planets all have their storms, and our planet has had a turbulent development over millions of years. With climate change, we will experience more storms and disruptions. Throughout this creation season, we have sung, "May the human race take notice and show divine compassion." After major storms, people, their homes, and environments need our active compassion. Here in the Pacific and elsewhere, we can give practical assistance by donating money and goods, being there for people in need, and in speaking out to change the attitudes of indifference to the sufferings of others. We have all been caught in storms and realise they are part of our existence. And I'll just finish with a little poem. Fearful but exhilarating, freezing but refreshing, noisy but communicating, surviving and restored.
Thankfully, we no longer see storms as God's punishment, as in the stories of Noah and Jonah and others. But yes, they're increasing in violence and frequency, and because of what's been done to the earth, and we too need to mend our ways. They can be powerful and occasionally frightening experiences. And here, more than most people in most places, we can understand deeply the use of storm as a metaphor for the personal upheavals and tragedies and emotional disturbances of our lives. The inner thunder, the lightning strikes, the battering gales, the power outages, the torrential rains that can swamp our being and rip the roofs off our previously fairly manageable lives and cause unwelcome leaks of memories. Surrendering to the process is all that's possible, and where do we turn then for our survival? Who can be the Jesus figure in the boat with us? Family, friends, neighbours do what they can to manifest divine presence and compassion. Therapists, medication can touch deeper places in need of healing. Asking for support, as the disciples did, is pretty difficult for most adults. And learning to do so is actually spiritual maturing, as well as being a very good community strengthener. As we work our way to the still core of our being, the hope offered by faith and experience that this storm too will pass can keep us from despair. External situations, or internal ones for that matter, may not be fully resolved. There may be a long wait. Somehow, we can eventually discover a peace we did not know was possible. For those who follow the way of Jesus, there is his gift of a map. In his book, Resurrecting Jesus, Adyashanti, a Buddhist teacher, says that the essence of Jesus' teaching is that the full sweep of his life, death, and resurrection is the map, the model of the human spiritual journey. We all, one way or another, develop through hidden child life, an adult sense of purpose and mission, temptations and deserts, successes, radical failure, and then some new life. If we see the experience of Jesus as a storm, there were the gathering clouds of the authorities' determination to kill him, the chill winds of the desertion by his friends, the hurricane of the agony in Gethsemane, his ultimate choice to surrender to the force of chaos rather than attempting to control it, and the loneliness and the sheer pain until it was all over. And we all have our own Good Fridays. But that was not the end. Whether or not there was a literal resurrection is less important than that Jesus emerged from his obliterating storm changed, with a new way of being in the world and of relating to the ones he loved. As the compassion of God, he is with us in our storms, calling us on with the promise that our own gigantic waves will be stilled, our storms will subside, and our rainbows will eventually appear. and so we come to our own resurrections. We too are changed by our storms. Life is different afterwards as a new normal unfolds. As in Genesis, so still now, spirit hovers over chaos in astonishing and creative ways, and we're able to find our resilience and go on. Before his storm hit, Jesus said, "My peace I live with you, my own peace I give you, a peace the world cannot give. This is my gift to you." And afterwards, as he came to the terrified disciples again, "Peace be with you." So after our own storms, we come to rainbows and peace, and eventually maybe gratitude for what still is, for what is new, and for wisdom gained that we had not previously needed. Peace be with us all.